I'm pretty sure I have the same amount now that I did when I started, but who's to say? Well, every now and then I get coupons in the mail, and I gotta say I don't really go through them that thoroughly. I don't really sort through them that much because we get so much junk mail, but there is usually one set that grabs my attention every time, and that are the coupons to Lowe's and Home Depot. Now, they rightly identified our household as a great place to flood with tempting offers. We have a great house, I'm very thankful for it, but we have lots and lots of little tiny things that need fixing. So sure enough, I'll get those weekly circulars and I'll start to think and plan and daydream about what is the next project to tackle. I'll think about what tools I'm gonna need. I'll think about how many YouTube videos I'm gonna have to watch. And I'll think about how much money it will take me to hire someone to come behind me and fix the mistakes that I'll make. I'm sure a great many of you can relate to this, but it's not just about jobs around the house, but other long-term projects too. Maybe you're trying to advance at work, and as a result, you have plans and you have projects in place to help put you in a position to succeed. The same thing is certainly the case for school and advancing academically as well. And if you want to get ahead and make lasting improvements, there's always a project that you are working on, scoping out, and hopefully executing on. I'd like to read a familiar section of scripture found in Luke chapter 14, if you could turn back there. You've read this many times, I'm sure, but I'd like to look at it from just a slightly different perspective. It's under a heading in my Bible. It says, "Leaving all to follow Christ." We're going to pick it up in verse 25 of Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him," that's Christ, "and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother,'" this is figuratively, "'does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" So we're getting some of the context here, and Jesus Christ is talking about putting aside physical distractions and focusing on the spiritual. And you have to figuratively hate or be dismissive or to make a lower priority all of the physical concerns that make up our lives, and in turn, make focusing on God and his way of life a key priority. It's easy to say, of course, but extremely hard to do. And then we get a section of scripture here in verse 28 that helps to reiterate that trying to do the above, that is to fully commit to God, requires a specific mindset. You can't just flippantly agree to do this. You have to be aware of the sacrifices that will be required and have a plan and a goal in mind. Verse 28, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions for peace." Now, we read these sections of scripture before the baptism. We keep them in mind before we do any other sort of large commitments, and to ensure that we understand what takes place before we start so that we can be set up for success. However, what's striking to me about these verses is not just that you have to count the cost, that's certainly the case, but in both examples of the builder and the king, they both had a project or plan and they started to execute. There's something to be said for someone that has a plan and a project and wants to try and execute on it. Now, sure, we can be unwise about a project, but I'd argue that it's better to at least start than it is just to sit and ponder and stay in planning mode forever. I had a mentor that had a saying, you've probably heard it before, that said, "Perfect is the enemy of good." meaning that we can stay so focused on making sure everything is perfect that we never actually do anything. So today, I'd like to ask you this question. What is your current spiritual project? What is your current spiritual project? Let's say that you go home, you go to the mailbox, you open it up, and you find a one-of-a-kind coupon for a 25% bonus, Understanding of the Bible. It's for a limited time only, of course. If you get that coupon, what will you spend it on? Do you have a spiritual project right now? Do you have a list of things you'd like to knock out, to fix up, or even rebuild within your spiritual life? Well, in the last month or so, I've been so swamped at work. I have my own company, and we have basically three large-scale projects that are going on. And normally, it's not really that big of a deal because only one is busy at any given time, so I can kind of switch back and forth. But when they're all busy together, well, then it's really hard for me to keep my head above the water. And when that happens, I get up earlier, I stay up later, I cut out my hobbies, and I try to stay extremely focused, etc., etc. But, of course, what starts to get neglected? Well, it's the same for you as it is for me. It's my spiritual life. And I do try to keep on my prayer and on my Bible study, of course, but I'm certainly not executing a plan. When it gets like this, I'm often, spiritually speaking, just in survival mode, not in growth mode. Those plans, my spiritual projects, they all get put temporarily on hold. I'm sure I'm the only one that this happens to, right? Well, let's notice a story back in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's of King David. I'm going to only read two scriptures out of this section. We've read through the story many times, but to me, it plays really nicely into the point that I'm trying to make today. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and this is really just at the very start of the Bathsheba incident, a very serious incident within the life of King David. And again, I'd like just to read the first two verses of 2 Samuel 11, verse 1 and 2. It said, "It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained or tarried at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold." Well, you know the story, but there are a couple of observations about these two verses. First, David remained, or he tarried back in Jerusalem instead of going into battle with his troops, as was his normal responsibility. Other commentaries also point out that in verse 2 it says David arose from his bed at the start of the evening, meaning that they supposed that he had slept in and he had idled away the day. The important thing, though, was that David was not where he was supposed to be, physically or spiritually, and he wasn't focused on tackling his spiritual project list. He was drifting and he was idling. And as a result, we get a story here in 2 Samuel chapter 11 that opens with a man, a king of Israel, without a spiritual plan. And what plans he did have were quickly replaced with an alternative course of action that led to nothing but trouble. Now, 3 years ago, there was a scandal at the Malmstrom Air Force Base about cheating on certain tests. I don't know if you remember the story back in 2014. Since I do contract work with the Air Force, it caught my eye. And this particular scandal, this cheating scandal, really caught my eye, like I said. Now, people have been cheating on tests ever since the first ill-prepared person was handed a test he knew he was going to fail. But what made it particularly bad in this case were that these airmen were cheating on tests that were designed to keep them knowledgeable and prepared in their jobs of guarding the nuclear warheads. Now, this scandal was uncovered. I know, right? That's pretty bad. Now, the scandal uncovered all sorts of problems, including this cheating issue, and it ended the careers of quite a few officers. And part of their investigation found that one of the contributing factors that led to this widespread cheating is that the staff was having a hard time staying on high alert all of the time. After all, the threat of nuclear war is not very high, thankfully, but they were required to constantly be on 100% alert, at the highest level of alert, all of the time. Well, how can anyone be at such a high level of readiness? The only way that they found was to have concrete, tangible, and realistic projects and plans. And instead of letting any of them be idle, they needed to commit to that purpose and stick to their plans. And while that was certainly important for them, arguably, we have something even more critical on our plates, the opportunity to live forever in God's kingdom. But we can't be idle and just float through our practice runs either. We have to organize our spiritual projects and continually execute on them. Finally, let's turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. This is a memory scripture to most. James 1, 22. It says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Maybe I could also add to that that a hearer of the word and not a doer is also like a man without a spiritual project, a Christian where his spiritual action items have been neglected, lost, or set aside. What is your spiritual project? Well, there's no need to wait for coupons in the mail to get started. Instead, let us all get our list out, get our tasks organized, and start tackling our spiritual projects in earnest.